One of the things that I hate the most is discovering a local band. You know, they're starting to get up to the top and they move to New York or LA or Nashville because they think that's where the opportunities are. And yes, there are labels there and probably more venues, and but we have so much here in Boston, and I want to keep the talent here, and I want people to recognize that we have a music scene. So that's always has been and always will be one of my goals, is to build up the infrastructure here so that we have a music scene and people recognize this city as a music city.
Welcome to Boston Music Explorer. I'm Dan.
I'm Jack.
And we're the Barton Brothers. We're songwriters and performers that are newly based in Boston.
This podcast is our excuse to talk to people who are doing interesting things in the Boston music scene. If you're doing something cool, we want to hear about it.
If you like what you hear and want to send some love to the algorithm gods, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And enjoy this episode of Boston Music Explorer. Hello, you there listening to this. Thank you for doing that. I hope you're crushing it at the gym. I hope you're enjoying your commute, or maybe you're avoiding eye contact with fundraisers on the sidewalk. I'm particularly good at that. All those things. It's nice of you to be here. We at Boston Music Explorer know you have many great podcasting options, so thank you for your attention. We are back with another great episode. And today you will be hearing our chat with Alyssa Spector, who runs Listen Boston, which is a music agency that books and promotes shows and also manages and develops artists. It was a super relaxing conversation and some great perspective to talk to someone doing big things in the local scene who is not and has never been a musician herself. Any healthy scene needs people like her who love music and see a way that they can help. In that way, also, her perspective on the Boston scene is interesting, and it helped to clarify some of the things that seem to be missing from the scene, whatever it is that drives promising talent to Nashville, New York, and LA, you know, some of that being a real industry infrastructure. You know, Boston has artists and venues and plenty of great studios, but it's lacking in labels, publishers, management, all the things that signify, quote, this is the music industry. So that's a little window into what we'll be chatting about, in addition to the artists that she manages and books for, and how they're marketing and growing their music, and all those indie nuts and bolts. We weren't able to get this episode out in time for the Underground Sounds show that she hosted last week, but we left that segment in there because it was a seriously cool event. But we do wrap up the episode with some music, and since Alyssa is not a musician herself, we'll take the chance to hype one of her artists that we discuss on the show. The song is Catch 22 by Oompa, who will be going on tour shortly and will be at Brighton Music Hall on August 31st. Hope to see you there. You can reach out to Alyssa at listenboston.com. That's L-Y-S-T-E-N, boston.com. And that's same Listen Boston on all social media. Email us at thebartonbrosmusic@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or guest suggestions. Keep it coming with those ratings and reviews. And I think that should do it. Enjoy this episode of Boston Music Explorer.
Yes, I have always been into music. I started going to shows when I was probably 11 or 12 years old. My mom would drop me off at like local concerts, or I used to follow local bands around the state. They'd play at like an American Legion or like a church basement, okay. Like gross places, yeah, that right. Would just allow a bunch of rock bands to play. So that's how I got started, you know, into music. But yeah, no, not a musician. I just love music, and I kind of like continued that as I got older and went to shows a lot. And then I moved to New York for college, for my last 2 years of college, and then for 6 years after that, and kind of like fell out of it. I was working in the fashion industry, and like I feel like my priorities were kind of different. And then I was like really upset and went through like a bad breakup and moved back home to Boston and just left everything, quit my job. And then I've like felt this void in my life and I'm like, it's music. I need music again. So then I started going to like tons of shows and networking and talking to all the bands and meeting booking agents at venues around here and just kind of happened from there.
Very organically. Wow, that's a bit impressive.
When you started doing that, was there the mind like, I like want this to be a new career, I can help these people? Or did you like, you were just naturally so interested in meeting these people and they started asking you to help?
No, it was definitely like, I want to help people. Mm-hmm. I see my place in this industry here.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
It makes it easy when you're not trying to be a musician, when you're not trying to be on stage and like rub elbows in that way. You like genuinely come at it from a place of I see where my niche is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it like kind of started, I was at a show at like a pretty big venue here and there was a band from, I don't know, California or something, playing on like a Monday night, and there was like no one in the room, and I was just looking around. I'm like, why is there no one here? They're really good. How does no one know about this? And I'm like, how do I get people to find out about this stuff?
Yeah.
And like, how do I get people to go to local shows? And then my friend was a graphic designer, and I was like, can you make me a logo and a business card? And I feel like I'm just going to do this. And she did. And I just like went to shows and like brought my business cards and was like, hey, your band's good. Can I book you?
Wow.
It just kind of evolved.
Wait, you asked your friend to make you a business card?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to make up a name. So originally I was called Boston Music Scene, which at the time I didn't realize was way too generic and no one knew what that was.
Yeah.
But my logo was good and it's still the same one as it is now, so people recognize that. And then a friend who was kind of like my mentor and helped me start in this local community and gave me a lot of opportunities, he was like, yo, you gotta change your name. That's like, no one is recognizing that. So then I came up with Listen Boston and the Y, because A-L-Y-S-S-A, my name. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So we kind of skimmed over this. You are Alyssa Spector, owner and operator of Listen Boston, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. That's very cool. Was it like from the get-go that you were someone who was interested in local shows over like, you know, going to the arena concerts, and you just really liked local bands, and that's why you kind of like followed small bands around the state? Wow, how does that happen? Because most people, when they're young, like are going to huge expensive arena concerts and don't develop that love for a local scene.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely went to my share of big concerts. I have like a massive scrapbook and like shoebox full of all of my concert tickets that I used to buy. So I definitely started off with that. And then I grew up in a town where there was nothing to do, and there was like two local bands, and then, like I said, we'd go to these small little venues. And then I think when I discovered that and the fact that I could talk to the bands and like see them in these like intimate little rooms and really be part of it, that's kind of what drew me to it. And then just living in Boston and seeing the community that we have here and how many artists there are, and the talent here, that was another thing that kind of,
So what was the, when you started asking yourself, like, how you could start promoting, or how you could get people in the door, what was your original answer to that question? Or, like, did you just kind of start winging it as soon as you had the logo and the name and just went for it?
I had no idea. Like I said, I'm not a musician. I didn't go to school for music. I just love music. So I had no idea what I was doing. I just met people and tried to meet and talk to the right people that knew what they were doing and would, you know, sit down with me and give me advice and show me how things worked. And I just really figured everything out on my own. And I knew, like, you know, social media was a good tool. And once I had, you know, a brand and social media pages, I kind of used that to tell people about shows and, you know, make flyers and stuff. So
that's amazing, because so many musicians don't even think about how to get people in the door until it's too late. And then you know, you went out and figured it out how to do it on other people's behalf when people usually can't even figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we can fill in the gaps, but what has that developed into now? What does Listen look like at this point, and who are you, and what do you do from a day-to-day basis?
Sure. So it started off, yeah, helping local bands, booking occasional shows, maybe once a month, once every 6 to 8 weeks. Then I was booking for a few smaller rooms around town, and that was like anywhere from like 3 to 9 shows a week.
Jeez.
Then I got burnt out and I decided I really needed to refocus and figure out what I wanted my brand to be and what I ultimately wanted to be doing. So part of that is booking. So not booking for any venues, but booking, you know, one-off shows maybe once a month, something that's meaningful, you know, a really solid bill, a good venue, putting 110% behind the promotion. And, you know, making an event that people want to go to. So maybe it's a band's like album or EP release, or, you know, someone really cool is coming to town and I'm pairing them with locals, whatever I kind of feel like doing, maybe partnering with a local business and doing like some sort of collaborative event. So there's that part of it. And then now I'm also focusing on like artist development, artist management. So I have a few artists that I'm working with that I really believe in and I just love their music and they have so much potential and I want to help them grow and take their careers to the next level. So anything from, you know, just general booking for them, helping them get on bigger stages and, you know, opening support for national acts or... just general management, you know, helping them build their brand and stuff. So I guess the way I describe what I do is I'm a music agency that books and promotes shows and manages and develops artists.
Nice. Is that kind of the transition you made when you got burnt out, like being venue focused? Like, this is like too much to focus on filling this many nights for a venue. I'd rather switch focus to the artists and help them grow, and so you kind of like switch perspectives in that way, or?
Yeah, that, and I had really built up my network after booking hundreds, probably almost 1,000 shows over the years. So I knew, you know, most of the talent that was here, and I was familiar with everybody. People knew who I was, and it wasn't as hard for me to connect with bands and put a bill together. You know, in the beginning, I was like begging people to work with me, and then it sort of evolved to like people reaching out to me.
Right,
so, you know, that.
Have you found that's the case where people are reaching out? Have you ever had the situation where people reach out to you and you're just not interested in promoting their stuff at all because of a lack of just like compatibility or talent, or what is your like screening process
that you kind of represent? Or
yeah, so I definitely represent, I mean, the artists that I manage and book for, I guess my roster, if you want to call it, they're definitely a diverse group of musicians, which I like. You know, I don't want to just focus on one particular genre. So that's diverse, but it's still my personal preference and, you know, artists that I, like I said, really believe in and love their music and see their potential. And yeah, so now I feel that I can be a little bit more selective when it comes with working with people. But I still have the desire to, like, help everybody. Like, I want to say yes to everybody.
Right.
But then I need to, you know, what I can handle and... you know, if it's too much or it's too time consuming, just kind of pick and choose, you know, which ones are worthwhile and which would be a good partnership too.
Absolutely. When you started doing music here, was there a point where you had built so many connections that it felt like you couldn't go anywhere else, or was it truly like this is where you wanted to be eventually anyways?
No, I don't think, I mean, I still don't think I'm at the point where I've done everything here and worked with everybody. I feel like I still have a lot more to do in this city. Of course, I've toyed with the idea of moving somewhere else. Like, I've always wanted to live in California, mostly because of the weather. But, yeah, I mean, I would totally love to be somewhere else. But I feel like I've invested so much in the music scene here, and to leave, I don't know what I would do without Boston music and right. the support of the community here. But then also, you know, to leave to go to another city, I'm nobody and I'm starting from scratch. And, you know, all of the work that I've put in for the past 4.5 years would just be nothing.
That is so. Kind of the decision you have to weigh. Like, do I want to be somewhere else? Maybe. But, like, what would I be giving up and sacrificing? Or, like, what would my life even
all my friends and connections.
Yeah, what
sure.
would my life even
yeah.
look like?
Sure. That's why, like, ideally I would love, which I've started a little bit focusing on booking tours as well, which
there
I did
go.
For one of my artists. So I booked, like, my first real tour.
Cool.
It was, like, 16 dates. So that was pretty exciting. But ideally, I would love to just go one day and, like, maybe go on the tour for an artist that I book. And then I can see other cities and
okay, yeah.
you know, come
who,
back home to Boston at the end. So.
Who was it that you just booked your first tour for?
Oompa.
Oompa?
Yeah.
Who is Oompa?
You've never heard of her? She is...
Not until I talk to you.
Incredible hip-hop artist. She's local here. She performs most of the time with a full band. She's absolutely incredible. You should check her out. Everyone that I introduce her to is like, oh my God, she's amazing. So yeah, she's great. She's definitely one of the artists from here that are definitely on the rise.
And is this her first tour as well as your first tour?
It is, yes. Okay. Yeah, she's also a poet, so she's done tours for her poetry
yeah.
and she's won like all these rap slams and stuff too,
yeah.
so she's done a lot and has been around. But this is her first music tour,
cool.
so that makes it extra exciting that we kind of doing it together for the first time.
What, like, resources did you pull from since you have mostly local connections to, like, just going indie on the move and trying to find, like, relevant venues around the country? What was your strategy putting something together?
Again, like, from when I started, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
It was just hours and hours and months researching. So just online, I knew the cities. They told me beforehand which cities they wanted to go to and the dates. So that's really all I had. So
start.
I just started with the venue side of things and, you know, research venues in every city, Googled it. Yeah, Indie on the Move, anything I could find, like DIY groups to find venues that were appropriate size for her band. Then I started with artists that sounded similar. She had a few recommendations, and she had asked some of her friends in other cities if they had recommendations, and
for
kind of went
she
from
like
there.
Pair a show with her.
Yeah.
Or,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I also looked on some local bands like from Boston to see where they've gone and where they've played, and found venues that way. And I have this whole big spreadsheet that I've been using and still working on.
Yeah.
To coordinate all that. So I think the hard work is done, though. That took me a very long time. But now I think I would be in okay shape if someone else were to ask me to book a tour to, you know, some of those same cities, because now I've done all that research. So
that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, and the work that you do up front would make future tours, especially if these cities are their typical cities that any other artist would ask you to book, like having a... assuming this goes well, having a foot in the door with those venues is going to be like invaluable. So
sure, yeah.
What are, like, how do you measure when you're looking at, you know, someone from a different city that you're trying to pair them up with? Do you look for whether they're gonna, like, proof that they're gonna pull a certain amount of people in the door, or how do you, is that part of the selection process as well, or is it just solely based on similar sound? Like, what is your process of selecting like?
Yeah, definitely. I listen to their music, make sure that the sound makes sense, and I look to see where else they've played in the area. Usually Facebook, like the events tab of someone's page, or I don't know what other... Some people use like Reverb Nation, but I don't like that website. But sometimes it, you know, any of those sites that where someone can link, or bands in town or something, they can link their past shows.
Yeah.
So I just look to see where they've played, and if they have played shows in the past, have they promoted it, you know, is on their Instagram page or Facebook page, are there flyers for these shows? And I kind of just go by that. And I'll flat out ask them, you know, what their draw is locally. A lot of the venues want to know. So sometimes I'll try to either I'll email the venue first, or for this tour, I kind of found some artists first so that I had, you know, an idea of a bill, and then reached out to the venues. And a lot of the venues would come back and ask if, you know, what the draw is for these bands. And I just kind of asked them.
That's amazing. Thinking about the amount of work, like if we wanted to book our own tour, researching relevant acts, researching relevant venues, that amount of work seems so daunting to me, and the fact that you're doing it on behalf of someone else is mind-boggling.
It's almost like a charity.
So what's, obviously it's like, it's also a business, but oh my God, how do you, like, what's your, is your motivation really just how much you believe in her music, and this is just something you're passionate about? Where does that come from?
Yeah, totally. I don't know where it comes from. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I've never been this happy in my life, and like just the amount of time I spend working, and I love it. And I mean, of course it's stressful and I complain sometimes,
sure.
And you know, I'm like, God damn it, this person or this email,
right.
But I just love it so much. And I just know, just looking back at what I've done in the past and other jobs I've had, I just know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I love it. And that, and just working with artists that I love as artists, as people, and that have the potential, like some of them do, like Oompa, I want to help her.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then also, like, if she makes it, then I can say that I was behind her. I booked her first tour. I'm on her team.
Yeah.
And just gaining that trust with artists too, you know, doing something like this, having them not having to hire some, you know, famous booking agent and, you know, established company.
Yeah,
to
someone that won't give them the time of day.
Yeah, yeah. Them not having to pay an agency, you know, a ton of money to do the same work. It makes it feel more personal.
Right.
Can you point to a specific moment? Because I think anyone who starts a business or a band kind of has, you know, almost an eternal feeling of this, it's growing. Did you ever have a moment where that growth felt like you've hit a point of where you could call yourself successful and this is like where you wanted it to be? Or is that still like a moving target at this point?
Yeah, and how are you defining success with this venture?
I mean, it's still a moving target. I'm not at the place yet where I want to be, but I feel like every show I book, every connection that I make is kind of one step closer to that. And I kind of gauge all of those things as this is a success. You know, that tour, that was a huge success for me. I've never done anything like that. I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning. And now I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing. And
yeah.
I will feel a lot more comfortable if someone else approaches me and asks me to book a tour for them. You know, some of my events, like I booked a show in the lobby of the Wang Theater last September, and that
nice.
Was the first ever live music event there. And that was a huge success.
Yeah.
I mean, was the room packed with 500 people? No, we had a few hundred, but it was the first event of its kind, and people were talking about it, and the Globe wrote about it, and the Herald, and the Dig, like every local media source covered it, and it was awesome. People were talking about it, so that was a success too. Yeah.
So it's not just one metric; it's a million different things. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it has to be like really rewarding if, you know, if it's not just a paycheck and these artists that you're working with are people who you really believe in, to book them a show that sells out, that goes really well, that has to be especially rewarding. And that's like kind of what drives you to keep like doing the next thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like Oompa, for example, our last real local show at Great Scott, her headlining show, I think it was back in April, she sold that out. And it was like within 10 minutes of the doors opening, we were sold out. And there were tons of people waiting in line outside around Great Scott waiting to get in. People trying to sell tickets for more than they were worth. So
you got scalpers.
That was, that was amazing. So that was a huge success. So, yeah.
Do you know with her specifically, did she have like a substantial online presence before she started, or was she kind of like grassroots just doing shows and hustling and building fans that way?
Yep. She worked her ass off.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And where we initially met was briefly at the anniversary party for Gratitude Sound at the Record Co. And the performance of the night there was Ed Balloon, who you work with. Is that right?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about him. That was one of the most like fascinating pieces of music performance art, undescribable nights that I've ever seen.
I know.
How did you find him and who is he?
He is absolutely incredible. And if you haven't heard of him, anyone listening, Ed Balloon, look up his music videos. He is incredible. He blows my mind every time I see him. I booked like his second or third show ever, and I've been working with him ever since.
Yeah.
And I've been to every single show since. And every time he just amazes me. I just watch him like I feel like I'm in a bubble. I don't even know how to describe him. He's like a pop, electronic, R&B artist with the most incredible dance moves. I discovered him because his producers and bandmates and guys that made his music videos that you see on YouTube, they were in another band that I was working with and helping them book. And they own a recording studio, Ugly Duck. And they had posted the music videos of Ed Balloon that they had created. And I was just like, holy shit, who is this guy? I'm like, I need to work with him. So I asked them to connect him with me and put him on a bill last June. So it hasn't even been that long, a little over a year. And I didn't know what to expect. I had just seen his music videos and heard his recordings and thought they were really good. And then he, like, gets on stage and is performing with a full band and dancing. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, he is going places. I'm, you know, taking him before someone else does.
Yeah.
And I've been doing all of his booking and management ever since. And he's played at, like, the MFA for their late nights thing, ICA. He's opened for bands at the Sinclair, Brighton Music Hall, Royale, which was, like, a last minute, like, 4 hours before the show, the opener canceled. And he played. He is amazing. And he's not only as an artist, but as a person. He just lights up a room. He has an infectious smile, and he's so amazing, and he loves what he does and cares about it so much, and everyone that he talks to, he just, like, he cares. He really listens when you talk, and he's incredible.
I was really struck with the performance, and no one will walk away not, like, he makes an impression on everybody, but it's also one of those, it's semi-avant-garde, and so while everyone will, like, enjoy it and be impressed, like, you know that there's going to be a few people in the audience that, like, really speaks to, and so I imagine he's developing, like, devoted fan base, because, like, it's strange and unique in a way that the people it speaks to will be like, yeah, that is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you kind of, like, keep an eye out for when you're looking at artists? Something, like, with a real distinct voice that's not going to be for everybody, but the people who it's for, it's going to be, they're all about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and even with him, like, sometimes I struggle putting, like, pairing him with other artists, because I'm like, he doesn't fit in with anybody. He's just, like, he's so different. But then in a way, he could fit in with anybody. Like, he's played with, like, more indie rock kind of bands, electronic bands. So he's kind of all over the place. And yes, every show he gains, you know, a new group of fans, and people are just surprised when they see him. And him and all of my artists, and any show that I book, I always look at the crowd's reaction and kind of walk around and look at people and, like, listen into what they're saying to each other, and people are just always, always impressed and super into it. But yeah, that's definitely something that I look for with anyone that I work with, is how the crowd reacts, because, you know, your fans are the ones that are gonna bring you up. So
right. And speaking of that, and talking about grassroots local artists who are trying to build a following, especially because your main focus is live shows, what are you finding are the best ways to, like, capitalize and push somebody forward? Say you have an artist that had a really successful show. Like, what do you use to keep building a presence? Are you working email lists? Are you social media? Are you have a huge focus on merch? What is kind of, as now a new manager, in addition to being a booking artist, like, what are some of your strategies to build people up?
Pretty much everything you said.
Yeah.
So continuing to play shows, not too much, but just enough. So maybe once a month, once every 6 weeks. You know, diversify your set list a little bit. You know, don't do the same one for a year straight. Keep up on social media, even if you're not playing shows or you don't have anything to promote, like a show or a new single or a music video. Just keep your social media pages active and engaging with your fans. Email list for sure, collecting email addresses at shows, because if people are paying to see you, then they're going to support you, you know, in the future. Any other projects, you know, buy your albums that are coming out. Social media, email list, live shows, merch is another big one for sure. Have stuff that's cool that kind of draws people in. And
anything like unique that you see working merch wise lately?
Yeah, like I've seen people do, because I've been hearing lately, like, people don't have anywhere to play CDs. Like, computers don't have CD drives anymore. Not everyone has a car. So aside from just, you know, digital downloads, I've been seeing people do, like, USB drives with the digital files and, like, you know, doing something weird. Like, you talked to Dan Masterson. I don't know if he did this on a project that he had for a pre-order, but he was talking about doing, like, piano keys that were, like, a USB thing something like that for a download. But I don't know if he ever followed through with that, but that was, like, that was a cool idea he had.
You've worked with him, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
And he just got nominated for Songwriter of the Year and then the New England Music Awards.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
So if you're going to look at, I think you've probably seen a fair share of people with, you know, varying degrees of success. If you were going to talk to a really, really young artist, like a 16, 17-year-old who was just starting and just really enjoyed songwriting but had no fan base, no nothing, no recordings, what are a couple pieces of advice that you would give them as a starting point in terms of work ethic, you know, building connections? When should they start playing live? When should they start recording? How do they do that without any money? Like, what are some basic pieces of advice for people just starting out?
Or someone reaches out to you and you can tell that they're not quite ready. What are some of the reasons you give you're not quite ready?
Sure. I actually work with some smaller artists like that and try to help them start from the ground up. Number one is just going to shows and networking. So if you're local to Boston, for example, and you want to be part of this music scene and you want to make it, you want to play shows, you want people to know who you are, you need to go to shows and make a name for yourself. And even if it's artists that you just like their music or people that sound similar to what you sound like or what you aim to sound like, just go to shows, talk to people, be present. Starting with that, social media, unfortunately, it just has taken over our lives, and that's how people communicate, that's how people promote their work. So social media pages, you know, you have friends, invite your friends at first, you know, ask them to share it. Booking shows, start small, depending what kind of music you do. If you're a solo artist or in a band and, you know, you're also a singer-songwriter, do open mics, something like that where it's easy, it's free to get in. Again, a good opportunity to network, an opportunity to get your music out there. And then just start with smaller rooms. You know, if you're a band and you don't have any shows behind you, then just, you know, start contacting smaller rooms, or going back to the networking thing, talk to a band that you like and that you think you might be a good fit with. Ask if they're playing any upcoming shows or looking to put one together, and maybe you can open for them, even if it's a quick, you know, opening slot. And then just, you know, recording. I mean, there's so many people in the community here. There's so many recording studios, whether they're affordable or not. Like, people have equipment in their homes. Talk to people. See if someone will help you out. You know, you want good recordings, especially when you're reaching out to venues. So if you have if you've played a few shows and you have a few good recordings, that kind of goes a long way, and that'll help build your fan base as well.
I think with music, there's a weird, you know, people have this idea that the, you know, cream naturally rises, and that people just with absurd amounts of talent naturally get the recognition that they deserve. Or at least artists themselves think that because they have, you're like, oh, I'm talented, things will work out. Have you noticed that that's the case in some sense, where like the cream does rise to the top, or is it mostly, is work ethic more correlated with success than talent to a certain point?
Yeah, there's definitely people that haven't put in much work, and they're just at the right place at the right time, and they
just
get lucky, and
yeah,
they're talented, and yeah, someone was in the room. But for the most part, it's work. It's a lot of work. I've talked to some smaller up-and-coming artists that are like, they meet with me and I'm like, so what are your goals? And they're like, I want to play like Boston Calling or a festival like that. And I'm like, oh, okay, where have you played locally? And they're like, well, I haven't really played too many venues. And I'm like, okay, so you need to, you know, start from the bottom and work your way up and establish your brand and, you know, and network and get your music out there first and get to the level where eventually you can catch the eye of these people booking festivals and in larger rooms and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's a lot of work.
People willing to do what it takes and, like, kind of build the following, as opposed to, like you said, it's like, think that you're the golden ticket to booking Boston Calling, but don't really want to do the in-between.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, you have to invest the time and put in the work, for sure. And if not, then I guess you have to have the money to pay the right people that have those connections.
Guess
and
so, yeah.
Then
never hurts.
So would you say, okay, just like kind of a, not totally wrapping up, but kind of a closure-esque question, if you were to say you could see yourself somewhere with this business in the next couple of years, do you have any lofty goals, any mid-range goals? Where do you see yourself?
I'm going to book Boston Calling.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess, like, short-term goals is to do more collaborative events. So I want to partner with local businesses, whether it's, you know, I don't know, an apparel store company or a brewery or something like that, to bring live music to maybe a unique space or just a different crowd other than our local music scene. And that's always been one of my goals. And I've kind of realized that that's probably one of the few ways to make that happen. And to get people to listen to local music is bringing them in from other industries.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and I mean, of course, longer term, making this a full-time thing, you know, having enough clients and a strong enough roster where we all make it.
Yeah.
And also just, I guess, in general, like, making Boston's music scene even more established than it is now. So one of the things that I hate the most is discovering a local band, maybe just like a Berkeley band or recent college grads, and you know, they're starting to get up to the top and they move to New York or LA or Nashville because they think that's where the opportunities are. And yes, there are labels there and probably more venues, but we have so much here in Boston, and I want to keep the talent here, and I want people to recognize that we have a music scene. So that's always has been and always will be one of my goals, is to build up the infrastructure here so that we have a music scene and people recognize this city as a music city.
What do you think is some of the things between here and there that Boston is really missing, besides convincing people to stick around? There are like a lot of venues, especially like per capita. There's a lot of places to play.
Sure.
There's a lot of talented musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Have you identified some of the gaps that you're trying to fill in?
Like you said, there's tons of venues, there's tons of musicians. I think it's the other roles in the industry. So like, we need a couple record labels, we need, you know, maybe A&R people. We need like the other aspects of the industry, more people doing what I'm doing. I think we need all of that, like all of the things that LA and New York has that draws people to those cities in order to further their career in music. That's what we need. We need here. I mean, we have the schools, you know, we have most of it. We just need to convince people. And I think a lot of that too, going back to, you know, outside of our music community, is those everyday people who I'm trying to reach every single day, every show that I book. How do I get those young professionals? How do I get those college students? How do I get those people that when you ask them what they're doing this weekend, they say, you know, going to a bar, going to the movies, and live music is rarely something that comes across their mind unless they have like $70 tickets to see someone at the Garden or House of Blues. And, you know, they typically listen to mainstream music. Like, how do we get those people to support the local music scene and recognize that we have music here in Boston? And I think once we get through that as well, we'll have a lot. It'll be a stronger music scene here.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and it's a sad thing that there are so many pieces in place and that artists don't see like a place for themselves when they reach a certain level, that they need, like, you know, not just like the individual pieces, but like an industry, like you said, labels, A&R, and that sort of thing. Which, this is an interesting time in the music business to be thinking about that, because a lot of those things aren't even really necessary. I think it's maybe just still stuck in artists' heads that I need to be in a place that has someone who will discover me, when that's not even really necessarily the case, but that seems to be what motivates people to get into an industry town.
Yep, absolutely.
I do like a couple wrap-up questions that are mostly unrelated, but do you have anything that you've been listening to kind of incessantly, as just like a, not necessarily as a guilty pleasure, just like a, something you've been obsessively listening to lately?
Not obsessively. I feel like most of the time I'm just listening to local stuff.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
People thinking about me. I like
so
barely have the time to
right.
like listen to stuff for pleasure.
Anybody?
I guess a few people that I'm into lately. One is Lizzo. I actually saw her open up for Haim, which is rare that I go to a concert.
Yeah.
But I did, and she's really cool. I'm into like the female artists and
absolutely.
Yeah, lady power. Her and Mount Joy, totally different. They're like an indie band. I'm really into them. They were playing a Great Scott like a few months ago, and I was mad that I didn't get a ticket because they sold out like instantly.
Ugh.
I think they're playing next month at like Royale or something.
Mount Joy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place.
Switching to, do you have any like guilty pleasures that you listen to?
Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Is like
go.
My,
go.
I love her. I've always loved her. My like mom and grandma used to listen to her, and yeah, I had her cassette tapes, and yeah.
And as far as a proper wrap-up, where can people find you online? anything that you're working on that you want to hype and tell people about?
Shameless promotion.
Yeah, so I have... so everything is Listen Boston, LYSTEN, Boston, social media, at Listen Boston. A few shows I have coming up, August 26th at Great Scott. I have Cliff Notes, who is a really great hip-hop artist, with Brandy Blaze, also a hip-hop artist, and Citrusphere, and they're like an electropop band. That's at Great Scott on August 26th. And August 29th, I have Marcella Cruz, Troy Ramey, who was a contestant on The Voice, and he's from, I guess originally from the area. He's really talented. He's playing with a full band, like singer-songwriter. Garth, who is incredible. He's like a crazy mix of like if Prince and Michael Jackson had a child. Jeez. He's like an insane voice, like insane. And Jesenia, who is young, she's like only 17 or 18, pop singer, and that I'm working with Experience Creative, who's another music agency and promotion company. And then that's at the end of the month. Actually, this Friday I have Underground Sounds, it's called. And that's at Underground at Inkblock, which is a really cool community space that is under the highway, under I-93, in between the South End and Southie. And this is another place that they've never had live music, and I discovered it just kind of like walking around town one day and emailed them and asked if they would let me put music there, and they said yes. So, and that one is Oompa, Ed Balloon, The Maxims, who's their rock and roll band that I work with as well, and Aubrey Haddad.
Awesome.
And it's free, all ages. Dogs welcome.
That's cool. Well, and that's cool. Yeah, that's absolutely. Thanks so much for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Think the blacker the berry, the stranger the fruit is, the bloody the body, the sweeter the bruise gets, the tighter the chains, the wider the news. They wantin' the jewels, but they scared of them roots, cause the blacker the berry, the stranger the fruit is, the bloody the body, the sweeter the bruise gets, the tighter the chains, the wider the news. They wantin' my jewels, but they scared of them roots. You lay down with them thieves, you might wake up gone. Don't wanna sleep till I'm a beast, then I can wake up God. I'm tired of chefing up dog food in the wrong hood, but that blue visa shit that only stretch so far, and that heat cut off, and I ain't got no real dependence, just a couple canned niggas depending on me for living. Uncle Sam wanna know how we survived this long, like how we could afford to keep them sprint lines on, like he don't see that track record, these bloodlines strong, like these foreheads, we go get them, we risk lives for it. Me and my sisters, we like Cleo in them. I'm talking about set it off, not the mind reader and shit for shit. We could probably sell you that dream too. Ain't a scheme out there, I don't think we ain't think through. A thing we ain't been through that only made us stronger. I'm still working on my demons though, I know what I be harboring. I know when I was starving, they were all up in my room like Drake the Marvin. So I had to pawn my soul to keep my soul for a bit longer. There was college, I thought my whole life was gonna change, but it just gave me double consciousness, I'll never sleep the same.
I ain't say I get no peace of mind, I don't even get no sleep at night. Man, the devil's trying to take my soul, got me chained up in this game of tug of war. For it to be alright, first it's gonna be hell. Worst case scenario, you fuck it up and fail, it'll be alright, it'll be, I know. Right now, I just need for you to make it home.
I thought about quitting, like, man, fuck it all. Came from the bottom, worked at it this long, and I dug into it close. Now a nigga still locked by the laws, and a nigga still just a nigga to y'all. Still pushing brick walls, only difference ain't no piss in the halls. And a quarter mil to build my fitting with y'all. I still stuck up like a sore thumb, look like a dick, that's what made them all come. To fuck you, I could afford. You can't feel that heat, I see anger fester. I ain't made in a year, what you charge per semester? So what you expect, I gave up my respect for an expensive door deck and a couple lessons that I'll never forget. Like, they don't really like you. In fact, they about to despise you, but they feel you like a guy when they standing right beside you. Want you to answer to them unless you do a dance for them. Pose for a picture, shaking hands with the man on it. What I'm supposed to say to my kids? Tell them chase after dreams like mine paying the bills. Tell them do like, plan C's, but have a plan B into that horse pill. Can you plan sing your damn seed in this game? You gotta be strategic. One false move and it's back to white Jesus. Everybody wanna be us, that's success when it's time to free us. I put that on my shoulders cause you motherfuckers need us, I said.
I ain't say I get no peace of mind, I don't even get no sleep at night. Man, the devil's trying to take my soul, got me chained up in this game of tug of war. For it to be alright, first it's gonna be hell. Worst case scenario, you fuck it up and fail, it'll be alright, it'll be, I know. Right now, I just need for you to make it home.
the berry, the stranger the fruit is, the bloody the body, the sweeter the bruises, the tighter the chains, the wider the noose. They wantin' the juice, but they scared of them roots. Cause the black of the berry, the stranger the fruit is, the bloody the body, the sweeter the bruises, the tighter the chains, the wider the noose. They wantin' the juice, but they scared of them roots. Cause the black of the berry, the stranger the fruit is, the bloody the body, the sweeter the bruises, the tighter the chains, the wider the noose. They wantin' the juice, but they scared of them roots. Cause the black of the berry, the stranger the fruit is, the bloody the body, the sweeter the bruises, the tighter the chains, the wider the noose. They wantin' my juice, but they scared of them roots. Cause